I want you to be very sympathetic to me because this is something I'm not really used to. I don't normally have the children directly to speak to. But I should be able to do something because I have four children of my own and we have nine grandchildren. No great-grandchildren yet, but nine grandchildren. And the thing about grandchildren, you know, I heard a man say one time, the great thing about grandchildren is it's grand when you can hand them back to mum and dad after the day. One of our ministers said in his church, grandchildren are God's reward for you not killing your own. That's a very hard thing to say, I know. But I want you to try your very best, and just for a few minutes, and I promise it will only be for a few minutes, I want to tell you a story that's very familiar and well known. It's one of the parables that our Lord Jesus told. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. And I sort of feel in sympathy with this young man at the start, because what the Bible says in Luke chapter 15 is that a certain man had two sons, and here he is with his two boys. I think you can see them there. The younger son wanted a way out. You know the way it is, boys and girls, when mum and dad want you to do something and you just don't want to do it and you get fed up. Well, when I was around your age, that must be all of 6 or 7 years ago, I had a big row in my house with my mother and father. And I said to them, I'm leaving and I'm going to Granny's, because you always get looked after in Granny's. Or so I thought. So I got my pajamas, tops and bottoms, rolled them into a little ball, put them under my arms, and went away into this far country, about 50 yards down the street to Granny's house. And I discovered, to my horror, Granny didn't want me either. And she chased me. But I wouldn't go. At least, I wouldn't go for a wee while. But then you know what happened? After about half an hour, or an hour, I started to miss my mummy. And I started to cry. I roared my eyes out because I missed my mummy. And boys and girls, if you ever try to leave home like I did, you'll not be too far gone until you realize what a great person you have in your mum, and you'll want to come back. But here he is, he's asking this young man here, he's saying to his father, give me what I'm entitled to. The Bible calls it his inheritance. And I'm going. And I don't want to stay here. And I don't want to be under your influence. I just want to leave home. It's a sad thing, you know, when you want to leave home. I know of an American preacher who had a young man just like this young man. And boys and girls, he gave his father a terrible time. He was abusive, he was cheeky, he was just bad all through and through. It got to such a state that that father had to ask his son to leave home. He actually put him out of the house, and that seems a very harsh thing. You wouldn't want your mom and dad to do that with you. But these people were just at the end of their tether, and they had to do it. And he speaks of the heartache he had as he watched his son in the car drive down the street and out of his life. Now that particular story, like the story before us of the prodigal son, has a happy ending. Because as we'll see in a moment or two, the prodigal son did return home. He did come back to his father and he was welcomed. And that young man who left home, who had a terrible life for a while, was wonderfully converted. The Lord Jesus Christ came into his life, saved him, and reconciled him, brought him back to his father. And not only that, but that young man in America actually became the assistant pastor to his dad in their church. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, that tells me that our Lord Jesus Christ is willing and ready and able to save anybody who will come to him. Your Sunday school teachers, your workers, the people that were with you all week, they have a great desire, boys and girls, that you, every one of you, would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. They are willing that you might be saved. They are ready that you might be saved. But the problem they have is this: they're not able to save you. But the Lord Jesus Christ is ready and willing, and thank the Lord tonight, he's able to save you if you come to him. Well, this young man, he decides to leave. He obviously got permission. He got his inheritance. He got his money. He got his bankroll, and he left home. And here he is going down that road, that very sad road of leaving his father's house. But the Bible tells us that when he left home, he wasted his substance with riotous living. That means he lived a very sinful life. And you can see him living that sinful life, spending everything he has on having a good time. When I was growing up, I lived in a very poor part of Belfast. We didn't have very much. We didn't have any money in excess. We just lived from day to day and from week to week. And that's the way it was in the place where I was born and brought up. I didn't know what it was like to have money. Well, this young man, he wasn't brought up in poverty like that. But when he got his inheritance, what was due to him, he went away, boys and girls, and he just lived like the devil. He just lived for pleasure. He wasted everything he had. And you know, when you have plenty of money, you'll have plenty of friends. And that young man had plenty of friends until he had no money. Because the scripture tells us that there came a time when a great famine, you know what a famine is? No food and no means of getting food. And here he is in the midst of this great famine. He really now is in a place, you know, where he just doesn't know what to do. He's, as we say, at the end of his tether. Here I am, what am I going to do? And you can see him, how sad, how depressed. He really doesn't feel good about things at all. And you know, it was so bad. He worked for a farmer, and part of his work was to feed the pigs. And I tell you, for someone from a Jewish background, that would be very difficult. Jewish people don't deal with pigs. They don't eat bacon, pork. They really miss out on some things, don't they? But the citizen of this far country where the young man is, miles away from home, and that young boy, he was so hungry, he would have eaten the very food that the pigs were having. When I was growing up, there was a man used to come round our streets, and he had a little horse and a cart, and a big bucket. And he used to go up and down the street shouting, "Hey up! Hey up!" That's all he shouted. What he was looking for was potato skins, people's cauliflower remains and turnip remains and anything at all, because the pigs would eat anything. Boys and girls, that used to be said about me, that I would eat anything. But it's not true. But this pig, these pigs, they would eat anything. And he really would have taken that food. How difficult for someone from a Jewish background to eat something he wasn't allowed to eat by the law of God. And I'm sure that he thought of the comforts of home. During all that time, it must have dawned on him, and it says, the scripture actually says, when he thought within himself, the hired servants of my father have plenty of food. They're in comfort. They don't want for anything. And yet here am I, in a foreign land, penniless, no money, starving half to death, lying with the old pigs, would eat their food if I had the chance to do it. What kind of a fool am I? There are many people, boys and girls, and they tell us that there's no God. We call them atheists. There's no God. And the Bible says they're fools. One day a lady came to me in the corridor in Craigavon Hospital carrying a huge camera. She was a photographer. And she asked me for directions to a particular ward, and I told her how to get to it. And then because I was wearing the clerical collar and looked very ministerial with my Bible under my arm, she said to me in a very strong voice, "I don't believe in God." She had no reason to bring that up at all, but she did. And I said to her, "Well, you know something, dear, I want to tell you this. God has a name for you." "Oh, yes, he does. Because it says here in this book that the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." I said, "You are a fool because you do not believe in God." I don't know, boys and girls. I think that speaking to you, every one of you here would acknowledge that there is a God. God is real. The Lord Jesus Christ is real. There may be some adult, I don't know, in the meeting, and you're having doubts. You might not be openly atheistic. Maybe you're agnostic. Maybe you don't really know one way or the other. But I want you to know that there is a God. Just as there was a father waiting in the home place for this young man to come to his senses, because that's what he had to do. And thank God tonight, boys and girls, that's what he did do. He came to his senses. And he made a very wise decision. He said, "I'm going to leave this far country. I'm going to come back to my father's house where everyone has plenty." What he didn't realize or didn't know was that his father had really missed him. And all the while, every day, the father was out looking along the road, waiting for his son to come. Then he comes and he sees him in the distance. And the father's happy. The father is delighted that his boy has come back. And you know, boys and girls, all of us, when we're born sinners, we're born far away from God. And there's nothing that delights the Lord God more than to see a child return. Come to him. Jesus, he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So he bids you to come. Boys and girls, some of you this week have come. Moms and dads, grannies and grandas, if you haven't come yet, then you need to come. We're not asking you to join the church here. Mr. Paisley told me years ago, "Never ask anybody to join your church. Young man," he said, "you'll have enough bother with the people God sends to you without looking for anybody else." And he's right. So we're not asking you to join the church. But we are asking you, boys and girls, moms and dads, to come and put your trust and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Get to the Father's house where you'll be welcomed as the young lad was welcomed. His father saw him long before he saw his father. And the father, listen, the Bible says, ran to meet him. Boys and girls, listen, Jesus is ready to run to you if you will come to him, if you will turn from your sins, confess them to Christ, tell him you're a sinner, tell him you deserve punishment. But Jesus died for you, you see. And he runs towards him with his arms open, and he embraces him. That's what Jesus does, you know. When you come to him, boys and girls, he throws his arms around you because he loves you. And one day you'll go to be with him. I have a wee sister. I never met her. She died before she was a year old, before I was even born. I have never met her in this life, but I know that one day, because of what the Lord Jesus did on Calvary's cross, one day I'll be with her. I'll be with my mom. I'll be with my dad. I'll see them again because, like the prodigal, I found the Father in the person of his Son. Boys and girls, the best advice I can give to you, and I'm speaking to you as an old granda, as well as a preacher, the best advice I could give to you is this. You come to the Savior and you trust him. I never had the privilege that you have having, because you're coming to a church here and you've been coming this past week where you've heard the gospel. I never heard the gospel for 17 years, and I was in a church every Sabbath day in life, almost. I never heard the gospel until God brought me to the Ravenhill Road, where I heard it for the first time. Listen, don't waste your life. I waited until I was 18. I wish I had come to Jesus a lot earlier. And I trust that you will. And I implore you, young people, boys and girls, moms and dads, if you're not saved tonight, that you'll come, like the prodigal, to the Father's house. Kill the fatted calf. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet and a robe on his back. For this my son was dead and is alive again. What joy in heaven there would be this evening if some of you young people, children, older folk would but come and trust in the Savior. Oh, may God in his mercy and his grace help you to do that.